Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to this week's podcast episode. And this week we are talking about what to do if you can't get or stay pregnant. So the focus is all around fertility. So I had a couple of questions around fertility after doing the Making Your Periods Your Superpower. So I thought this was a really nice follow-on to just do a bit of a zoom in on fertility specifically and getting pregnant after we have done Making Your Periods Your Superpower. So if you are struggling with this area, then do make sure you go and listen to some of those where I talk about the different parts of your period, because obviously that plays a huge factor here. But what I am going to do in this episode and then the next episode is just share with you kind of other aspects that maybe aren't to do necessarily with your cycle that play a role in your fertility. So we've already talked about your menstrual cycle, how to support that, how to kind of troubleshoot that. And what I want to talk about in this episode is other things that are non-cycle based that can contribute and play a role in your fertility and maintaining a healthy cycle. So obviously we're going to be talking about pregnancy and fertility here. So if that is not if that's a sensitive topic for you right now, then you could always go and listen to another one of my podcasts. But hopefully what I'm going to be sharing will really kind of empower and equip you to take this kind of process and journey and investigation and exploration into your own hands. I think too often with our health, we feel powerless. And actually, the aim of this podcast is to provide you information so that you remember how powerful you are and how much of your own health advocate you can be, and how much change and how much ownership you can have around your health. We don't have complete control, alas. We can't control everything in our bodies, but we can exercise far more power than what we realize. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about today. Apologies if you hear banging there. We've got a roof leak that needed fixing pretty quickly. And also it's the lockdown, so my son's around, so you'll also probably hear my son in the episode. You might hear banging from the roofers that have just arrived. I'm currently recording this in my son's bedroom because I thought that might be the quietest place in the house. It's just this podcast episode is dedicated to the lockdown. But other than that, no, things are going pretty well here. Just plodding on, doing gardening in the sunshine, going on lots of runs. It's all very nice. And if also today's episode does really resonate with you and you want to chat to me more about your specific case, what's been going on with you, maybe you've tried fertility treatments, maybe you've tried dietary and lifestyle changes and you're still really struggling, then this is something I do work with clients. So head over to keziahall.com, click the work with me page. I work with people over 12 weeks and you can just book a call where we'll just chat on the phone. Nothing too scary, and I'll ask you a couple of questions and just get a better idea of maybe what's going on, what could be tests we need to run, what could be protocols we need to implement, and just chat more about working together around this area. So head over to keziahall.com, click the work with me page, and you can book your call and we can just chat about it. It doesn't commit you to anything talking to me. It's just easier to have a chat in person, isn't it? I always think so. And make a bit of a plan of action of what's going to help. Okay, let's get on with today's show. If you can't seem to get or stay pregnant, that is what we are talking about in this episode in part one, and then I'll also do a part two. And we're going to be looking at some of the most common things that I see in the clients that I work with, and also in some of the data around as well. But this is by no means a comprehensive list, and this is also not necessarily a list of causing factors necessarily, but these are all things that can really strongly contribute, and that when I see my clients shift this and work on this, then actually they can start to see real shifts in their fertility. So these are things that come up really common, and it's really important. If you were to come to me as a client, which I have clients do relatively regularly, and either say, because I've been trying to get pregnant for 18 months and I've not gotten pregnant and I've had all the tests done and everything's apparently fine. Or maybe they are still having, they're kind of still going through that investigative period and they're just like, what can I do while we try and investigate and have certain tests and stuff done? What could be going on? Or people in other camps where maybe they can get pregnant, but they really struggle to keep and maintain a pregnancy for whatever reason. And so they've maybe had multiple miscarriages and things like that. So both of those situations are really hard. They are slightly different as well. So again, what I'm going to be sharing with you in this part and the next part is like a general foundation when it comes to anything fertility based. And then obviously it can be really nuanced for each individual and each body, depending on what is going on. But these are some really important things that actually when I talk to women, they don't often know about or haven't had checked or haven't had discussed with them when it comes to exploring their infertility, inability to get pregnant, or their inability to seemingly maintain a pregnancy. And it's really, really important. But I know this is a sensitive subject, so do feel free to stop listening to this if this isn't going to serve you right now. I know I'm going to talk about a lot of very practical things, just stuff, but I know there's also lots of emotions and trauma and disappointments that it's really important that you feel through this. So just so you know, also it's the lockdown podcast recording sessions. That is my son in the background. Hopefully that will not be too distracting for you or for me. Okay, so what we're talking about today is basically fertility. And it's a really important thing. So there's a couple of foundational things I just want you to bear in mind before we get into the, I'm going to share with you three or four things today that really play a big role in your fertility, and then I'll share some more in part two. But fertility, whether you're listening to this and you want to make a human or you do not, it's your fertility as a female, as someone with X and a Y chromosome, it's really important that you are fertile, that you have a cycle, that you bleed, that you could get pregnant if you wanted to. And now you do not have to get pregnant, you don't have to make a human, but it's really important that your body feels safe enough to be at the point where it could bring a human into the world. And that, on a really big picture, if we're talking about what's going on in big kind of themes, fertility is really a lot about your body feeling safe enough to get pregnant. And now that's not necessarily about how you feel or your conscious awareness of your safety, because you might be like, Kezia, don't be daft. I'm perfectly safe. I feel safe. I'm in a really healthy relationship. I'm doing all these things. I am totally safe. But if you are struggling to get pregnant or maintain a pregnancy, there could be something that you're not aware of, either biochemically, with your hormones, something that structurally even within you that makes your body, that sends the message to your body that it's not safe. And so on a really broad scale, that's what we're looking at here. When you're working on your fertility, and in fact, if you're working on your hormones in any degree, then you are really looking at helping your body to feel safe, safe enough to make new humans, safe enough to be in that slightly vulnerable position of being pregnant. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I have two minds about being pregnant. I think it's like this amazing warrior time, but I was also super sick with my pregnancy. So I actually felt pretty vulnerable. There was a part of me that was like, yeah, I'm bringing new life, a bit of a warrior while I just lie in bed and feel really grim for 9 months. So it's really important that you feel safe. And that is what we're looking at. And what we're going to look at in this kind of like mini series, which is really like a follow on from Making Your Period Your Superpower. This is kind of an extension onto that. It's really about some of the things that can make your body feel unsafe. Now, these are all the things that aren't to do with your emotions, aren't to do with your relationship, aren't to do with these more social factors necessarily. These are actually to do with what's going on with your body. So I always find it really helpful to think about it in that way. But obviously, how safe you feel in your relationship, in your home, past traumas, all of those kinds of things can affect you more than you think. So it's really important. But thinking about your fertility from this perspective is our clients often find really helpful in terms of, okay, it's about my body feeling safe enough biochemically, hormonally, mentally, emotionally, on every single level. And these are all things that can contribute to that and just play a role in your fertility. Okay, so let's look at the first one. So the first one, when it comes to fertility, that is that I've talked about a couple of times, but it's my main like go-to, if that makes, like if we were at a party and you've kind of pulled me aside and we're like, Kezia, I'm really struggling to get pregnant, or I'm struggling to sort out my hormones, or I'm struggling with my periods. What's one thing I can do? If you did that to me at a party, which some people do sometimes, then I would tell you this thing. And that is number one, work on your blood sugar. Hands down, first place to begin. It causes a lot of problems, and you might be like, what on earth has that got to do with my hormones? It actually has a lot. So if you think about your blood sugar, what that is, what I'm talking about is how much glucose is in your blood at any one time, and your body likes that to be a very specific amount. It likes that to be well balanced, like Goldilocks, not too much, not too little, in order for you to feel safe. And that glucose in your blood is what's going to go to your brain to help it function. Your brain takes something like 20 or 25% of the glucose that goes into our body to run the brain. Then it goes to your organs. It's really important. The body is bothered about keeping this level right, not too much, not too little. That's why imbalanced blood sugars can contribute to things like Alzheimer's disease and diabetes and other bigger kind of problems in the future. So it's really, really important that we keep an eye on that. And then you can see, if you follow that through, if your blood sugar's up and down and up and down and up and down, and you have loads of glucose and hardly any glucose, and your insulin is getting mismanaged within your body, you can see how that would make the body feel unsafe, even just on that basic level, because it's so primary that you have enough glucose for your body just to function, just to, for your heart to beat, your brain to work, your lungs to expand. You need that in your body. And if that is in question on a daily basis, day after day, your blood sugar is going like a roller coaster instead of being steady Eddie, then you can see how your body's going to be like, I don't think this is the safest time to have a baby, maybe, you know. But also from a more hormonal perspective, it can really affect your sex hormones as well. So if you were coming to me with endometriosis or PCOS or unexplained infertility or heavy periods or no periods or whatever, then this would be one of the first things that we work on. It's one of the first things I do with all my clients. Now, there's a couple of ways you can do it. I will, with some clients, will sometimes get them to buy a blood glucose monitor, like a diabetic would use, to measure their fasting blood glucose in the morning, and so that we can really see, get that more nuanced approach. That's what I've done with myself before, and regularly kind of check in, so that you can get that personalized approach of, okay, is there certain foods that you're eating that really raise your blood sugar? How is your fasting blood glucose on a regular basis? Are you, you know, just to get a bit more nuance, not because you'd be diabetic by any means, but just to give you that personalized feedback. And a blood sugar, blood glucose monitor is super cheap. It's really helpful. It involves a pinprick test in the morning. It's something I'll often get a lot of clients to do, not every single client, but if I suspect quite a big blood sugar imbalance and quite poor insulin management going on with their body, which often looks like a lot of weight gain around the middle, a lot of getting hangry, you know, hungry and angry, hormone problems, fertility issues, those kinds of things. Or if anyone has a diagnosis of, say, like PCOS, then that would be something that you definitely would want to look at, because we know from research that insulin plays a huge role in polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I've done a whole podcast on that as well, which you can find in the show notes. But this would be something really important to work on. And it's really basic. And sometimes it can be so basic that other people miss out. If you go onto blogs about fertility, most people are going to give you supplements and far too nuanced things, whereas actually really getting some basics down. I'm often amazed. I can always tell when I see other practitioners online when they've not had very thorough training, because they often get people to jump to these really detailed, specific protocols and practices without ever addressing basics. And if you do not address the basics first, there's no point in having a complex supplement program, or there's no point in doing this really specific thing to sort out your acne or your fertility or your whatever, if you have not got some of the basics down. And it's really important that your blood sugar is happy, well managed and steady throughout the day, and that you figure out, and if you have a blood sugar monitor, then you can figure out the best way of eating for your blood sugar. So what I did is I kept record of my blood sugar for in my fasting blood glucose in the morning, and I also kept track of what I was eating, and I just started to notice patterns. So I noticed for me, rice made my blood sugar spike really high. Things like very sweet cake obviously made my blood sugar spike really high. Things like, what else was it? But that was the other thing. Sweet potato didn't. So when I had sweet potato, so the same amount of carbohydrates, same amount of glucose in the food that I'm eating ultimately, that wouldn't make my blood sugar spike, but rice would, and potato, normal potato would. So really interesting. But blood sugar management, done, I think, a whole other episode on that. And I've got a blog post on that. So I'll share those things in the show notes, some more resources. But it is one of the first things you want to work at. And basically what you want to do is focus on you. If you get hangry, that's the feeling you want to ditch completely. And most people need to eat more healthy protein and healthy fat and fiber in order to balance out their blood sugar. And I always say, and I say this time and time again, if you're a regular listener, you might be sick of me hearing me say this, but really focus on breakfast, adding more healthy fats and adding more healthy proteins to your breakfast. That's a great place to start. But if you want to get more nuanced, then some blood sugar monitoring is a great thing to do. I do that with a lot of clients, and it can be a really helpful check-in. Okay, so that's the first thing when it comes to if you can't get or stay pregnant, to really focus on blood sugar. And that's a great thing to do. So often people will ask me, well, what if I'm going through fertility treatment or IVF or this, like blood sugar management is something you can do all the time. It's not going to impact any kind of fertility treatment or protocols that you're going with. And there's so much that you can do and integrate if you do choose to go down more assisted fertility routes from a holistic and nutrition perspective. Because sometimes people think it's either or. It's like, I'm doing IVS or I'm going super holistic. You can actually really integrate both of those things and they can work really well together. So just to point that out. Okay, blood sugar. Number two, if you are struggling to get pregnant or you're struggling to maintain a pregnancy, you need to just check your thyroid. You really, really do. I check my thyroid at least once a year. I'm probably due a check because I think last time I checked it was like last February and we are now in April. I check my thyroid at least once a year. And if you are struggling, to be fair, I'd say if you're struggling with tiredness, any hormonal issue, infertility, any kind of depression or anxiety, you just want to get your thyroid checked out. And you can do a decent thyroid check pretty cheaply now. It's difficult to get thorough testing on the NHS, I found from mine and clients' experiences, but you can go to like Thriver or MediChecks or Let's Get Checked. Like there's lots of places that you can do a simple home kit that have relatively reliable results. So if you're struggling to get or stay pregnant, you really want to check in with your thyroid. And then hopefully most thyroid tests can be relatively self-explanatory, but it's also worth getting someone to look into that as well. The test that I would often do as a baseline would be your thyroid, so your TSH, T4, T3, your antibodies, also your iron, vitamin D, B12, folate. Those would all be just basics, like the basic things you would want to be checked, especially in this topic. So thyroid, if your thyroid is overactive, underactive, if you have antibodies that are really elevated, that can really affect your ability to get and stay pregnant. Thyroid plays a huge role, and whether it's with getting pregnant or staying pregnant, thyroid makes a really big difference. Your thyroid kind of is the thermostat of the body, and it really affects your metabolism and every cell within your body. And so if there's imbalances there, it can really, if we go back to the first point, it can make you feel really unsafe. Your body doesn't feel safe because there's this imbalance going on. It's really important to optimize your thyroid function in order to boost fertility and help with pregnancy as well. Also, you might be like, Kezia, I know I'm hyperthyroid. I know I have a thyroid problem and I'm struggling with that. Then that's... And you're struggling to get pregnant, then what you really need to do is maybe ramp up your thyroid support. So a classic case of people that come to me and clients that I work with, they maybe know they're hyperthyroid and they're maybe on thyroxine or they're trying to avoid going on thyroxine. but they are not feeling any better. So they might be on medication, but they're not feeling any better. They still are really struggling. And that's often because they need to make different lifestyle and dietary changes. So I'll link to, I've done some blog posts and things on the thyroid, and I'll probably do some more future episodes on thyroid, but I'll link to those in the show notes. So first of all, testing your thyroid. And if you know your thyroid is off, you need to make some kind of dietary and lifestyle shifts in order to support your thyroid. So with thyroid, research shows that going gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, really helpful. Those are a great baseline. And I'd probably also say removing corn as well is quite helpful, and soy, processed soy. But baseline sugar, dairy, and gluten, which I know for some of you might be like, oh my goodness, that is huge, and that could take you months just to sort out. So that could just be a great place to start. But it's really important. I've known a couple of people and they've just had so many issues, and then after much heartbreak and difficulty later, it turns out they've actually just had a thyroid issue the whole time, and that was never properly checked. So be your own advocate, check it yourself. And if it all comes back totally healthy and normal, brilliant. Then you can rule out your thyroid when it comes to affecting your fertility, which is still really useful information. Okay, so that is the next thing. The third thing that plays a really big role, especially in your ability to get and maintain a pregnancy, is folate. And I want to talk about folate as opposed to folic acid. This is a big thing that I cannot believe is still perpetuated around the internet. But okay, so most women in general know for pregnancy they want to be on folic acid. If you take your Pregnacare thing that you would just buy at the supermarket, then that would be like 200 milligrams of folic acid or whatever the recommendation is. For a lot of women and humans, this applies to men as well, but obviously they're not getting pregnant. For a lot of women, me included, we cannot utilize folic acid productively due to genetic mutations. So for some women, they might be taking folic acid, but they cannot utilize that folic acid and convert that folic acid properly. So what they're doing is they're still low in folate. And if you are low in folate, what we're talking about, folate is on a really basic level is needed for DNA replication. So you can see why everyone tells you you need to supplement with it in order to get pregnant. In those first kind of 6 to 8, 12 weeks of pregnancy, the DNA replication going on in your body is crazy. It is non-stop. So you need really good amounts of your folate, also B12 and other B vitamins, but we're focusing on folate here, in order to promote and maintain that constant level and to feed that constant level of DNA replication. Making humans is basically one big exercise in tissue and DNA replication. And folate is essential for that factor. So if you are low in folate to begin with, so struggling to get pregnant, and this is especially true with maintaining pregnancy as well, if you have recurrent miscarriages, but your folate is low, and you're just taking folic acid that you're one of the 25% that cannot utilize it. Oh, I think it might be more than that. But anyway, then you're going to struggle to get pregnant. And I've seen this time and time again, and it does my nut in because it's a really easy change. And so many people are taking folic acid. That's a synthetic form of folate. So when you absorb that in your general, whatever, multi-pregnancy thing, then your body then needs to convert that, do several conversions in order to get that to a useful state, shall we say, to the body. But a lot of people, me included, can't do that conversion very well. So it actually just becomes useless, and this buildup of this kind of folic synthetic acid that we can't really use, which some people in theory argue is not very helpful either. So if you are pregnant, if you are looking to get pregnant, make sure you are taking folate. Methyl folate. You might not have the genetic mutation, and if you don't, that's totally fine. You're just taking a different form that's going to be slightly more useful to the body and easily more readily available. Even if you can do the conversion of folic acid, of synthetic folic acid into folate, even if you can do that conversion, it's always better to be safe than sorry, because most people don't know their genetics like I do. So it's really important. So I have the gene is the MTHFR, and you can have one copy of it, or you can have two copies of it. So I have one copy. So, and if you have two copies, so you got it from both of your parents, then it can really make this, your ability to utilize in things like folate and B12 and these other B vitamins really difficult. It really impacts your detoxification, lots of things. So folate, you want to make sure that your prenatals and everything that you're taking, especially if some of you might know, the doctor might have tested and say, oh, your folate's really low. Maybe they prescribed you folic acid. You might want to discuss with them about trying folate instead, especially if it's not helping you get anywhere. I would not, and I do not recommend any prenatals that contain folic acid. For some of you, that might actually fine and it might work, but just because we know quite a large set of the population this doesn't work for and it can actually be problematic, it's really important that you get some methylfolate into your body. It's also more absorbable because we need the folate. Folic acid is synthetic. We need it to be in a more absorbable form. And I don't quite know why this isn't kind of widespread, because it is in literature, and I don't know if it's just taking time to go through. But folate, not folic acid, when it comes to pregnancy, this can make, for some of you, this could make the world of difference. So when I was preparing to get pregnant, I made sure all my prenatals had folate in, and because I tested my folate levels, which you can do with one of the tests that I mentioned before, when you check your thyroid, I also took extra folate as well, just because I knew that my body just kind of needs a little bit more. But when it comes to foods, it's mainly your green leafy veg that have lots of folate in. So also you need to ask yourself, are you eating enough green leafy veg? So really important one as well. So we want to, because that might be enough. If you don't struggle to absorb folate, if you don't have that genetic mutation, then you might just need to eat more green leafy veg. It might be as simple as that. Okay, so that's folate over folic acid. And I will link to a prenatal that I really like in the show notes. I used a couple of prenatals during my pregnancy just because I think it's quite nice to chop and change things. But I'll link to one or two of the ones that I have used that have contained folate in them, which is helpful. Okay, so that is number four. And when it comes to pregnancy and your ability to get and to stay pregnant, it's also to look at your weight as well. And I know I talked about this in one of the previous podcasts, but especially being underweight, again, can be really problematic sometimes for the body, but equally potentially being overweight or very overweight could potentially be a problem. Now, I want to just focus in on that a little bit more, because we get a lot of really awful messaging around our weight and our body, and we can feel a lot of blame and a lot of guilt. And so it's really important that for some people, their weight won't be affecting their fertility very much. It just won't, like, and they can get pregnant and it's completely fine. And a lot of the time they get fobbed off if they do have any fertility issues and being told, well, if you just lost weight, then everything will be fine. And that's not always the case. So there is a lot of prejudice and a lot of kind of fat phobia and discrimination based on people, the size of body that a person lives in, which I don't agree with. But for some people, the weight that they are is a part of inflammation. And that, and you can figure those things out based on just running different lab tests. So, and running, looking at their blood sugars and all of those kinds of things. So that can play a role, but it's not always the reason you can't get pregnant. So say you're 3 or 4 stone overweight. Yes, that could be playing a huge role in your fertility, but it could not. It might not be playing a role at all. It might be you have some thyroid issues that are going on. It might be your folate's really low, and if you sort out that, you'd get pregnant straight away. So this isn't about, weight is always going to be a factor in health and always something to include and think about, but it is not the reason. It's not the big thing. It's just it's a contributing factor, but it's not something you should be discriminated against or just told, oh, everything in your life will be fine if you just lose weight. You should actually have access to thorough testing and investigation, which people don't always get when they're in a larger body, because there's assumptions made about them instead of necessarily data being done. And obviously for some people, certain weights is inflammatory, it is problematic, it is causing imbalances. So you've really got to tread that on tread that carefully and thoroughly and all that sort of good stuff. But also being underweight. And I see probably this more when it comes to fertility, with the clients I work with, women aren't maybe even necessarily technically underweight. They're just very small. And when they gain weight, and this can often be with clients that I work with, it's maybe because they've had issues with digestion and things in the past, and then they've struggled with eating food, or there's a little bit of food restriction or funniness going on or whatever it is, and they've just on the smaller end, often they need to gain weight in order for their body to, again, feel safe. So this all comes back to what weight does your body feel safe at? Because if that's too small, that could be a problem. If it's too light, your body won't feel safe because it might be like, we've not got enough fat, how are we going to breastfeed? Blah, 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 blah. All these things that your body's thinking on a primal, unconscious level. But same with the body being a larger body. Oh, is there too much inflammation? Is this excess fat a result of inflammation and trauma and all of these kinds of things and imbalances going on in the body? It's, again, it really can be one of the ways that you're, one of the messages that your body's getting all the time. The weight that you are is how safe it's going to feel. So that's something you've got to look at. And obviously it's a really touchy subject. So you've got to be really kind and graceful and loving to yourself in that process, because it would be really easy to just be like, oh, I don't know, all the head drama, all the mind, it can trigger off a whole lot of unhelpful thinking. So be really kind to yourself through that process, and just maybe be curious instead of harsh. Just look at it with a sense of curiosity of, okay, is there an option? Could I gain a bit more weight here? Could I benefit from maybe losing a bit more weight? Let's just get curious and kind about that. Okay, so those are the first four things that I want to talk about when it comes to getting and staying pregnant. So I will share more in part two when it comes to some of the other factors that I see play a really big role. Otherwise, I will see you for part two. Actually, they'll be coming right after this. Have an amazing day. If you have any questions about this, then head over to Instagram or Facebook and you can DM me there. Otherwise, have an amazing week. Thank you for giving me your most valuable resource, which is your time, and sending you lots and lots of love. And if after listening to this, you really resonate with some of the stuff sharing, or this is maybe an area you're struggling with and want to chat more, then you can head over to keziahall.com, click the Work With Me page, and you can book in a call where we could just chat about it a little bit more, see how I could help, see what might be going on, see which one of these things and factors could potentially be playing a role. We could just chat it through. I'd love to work with you. There's so much that you can do around supporting your hormones and helping your body and all of that kind of thing. But everyone is individual. Every case is different. So I'd just love to chat with you in person. I take on one or two new clients a month. So I don't take on a lot, but this is an area I've worked with quite a lot of people on, and there's so much that we can do together. So head over to keziahall.com and book your call. I'd love to chat more about it with you. Lots of love.